That was good. Thanks, Robert.
Hey, we're starting a new series this morning, and it's called We Wish to See Jesus. And as we move towards Easter, there's this series of time called Lent, as we draw close to God and we allow that drawing close to him to affect change in our lives. And as we move towards Easter, we want to come into this place where we're asking the question, we want to see Jesus. One of the things that gets talked about a lot about Jesus is his deity-ness, right? Jesus the superhero. He's Superman, Batman, Robin, Hulk, all wrapped up into one. He's the superhero. And so if that's the case, then how does he understand what I'm going through on a day-to-day basis? And so as we go into this Lenten season, we want to talk about the humanity side of Jesus. And we cannot go any further without saying the fact that he dwelt with us. In John chapter 1, in verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace." Just pause for a second. The God who created everything, who created you and put all your entire body together, came and wanted to hang out with his creation. Pause. If your mind is not completely screwed up, let me say it again. The God who created all came and dwelt with his creation.
Amen.
Thank you, Joan. You're not allowed to leave. All right, we'll get you. We will get you there. But this has to shatter who you are in order to affect some change in our lives. So this morning, our title is Jesus the Townie. Jesus the Townie. As we look throughout Scripture, his name becomes known and renowned. Right? And there's some negative connotations of the word townie, but the basic meaning is someone who resides in this town. If he were in Nyack, people would be like, oh yeah, he's a Nyacker, man. Is that Joan? Joan was like, would stand out on the street, right? And everybody who passed by knew Joan. Joan was a fixture of the town. Jesus, wherever he went, he became the townie. Wherever he went, people wanted to interact with him, wanted to know him. When I was growing up, there was this TV show on, and the theme song started this way. Some of you weren't even born. It's all right. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all the worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Now, I'm going to ask you to respond here in a second, those of you who are living during this series. There was one name. Even if you didn't watch the show, you know this name. And on the count of three, I want everybody to say this name. If you don't know, it's okay. It's all right. I will share a song for you in a second. I won't sing it. I will share it. But if you know that name, on the count of three, I want this is a call and response. This is not Jeff is going to say something and you're all going to sit there and leave me out to dry. On the count of three, everybody say this one name. One, two, three.
Four.
Well done. All right, we can go home. That was impressive. He's a fixture of that show. Right? Everybody knew his name. And this is the truth, that the God of the universe knows yours. Let that land for a second. The God of the universe knows your name. Wherever you go, wherever you are, he knows your name. Maybe the modern day version, just to help some of you out. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream. Everything is better when we stick together, side by side. We're all going to win forever. Let's party forever. We're the same. I'm like you. You're like me. We're all in harmony. Everything is awesome. See? When somebody knows and understands in a very real, practical way where you're coming from, it shakes and affects change in your life. And as we move into this Lenten season, I want the name of Jesus to land in such a powerful and present way in your life that it changes and affects this entire season for you. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 2. You're going to find it on page 1028. So Jesus comes and makes his dwelling among us, and this is kind of a strange way to get your name out. But this story is always fascinating to me. And it's a story that sets up the stage for the rest of Jesus' ministry. And he chooses to do it in such a precarious way. And maybe for some of us, an awkward way to get his name out. Let's read this together in John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place in Canaan, in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" We'll get back to that in a second. I know some of you are like, "What? No, this is Jesus. He's not allowed to say that." We'll get back to that. One of these times we're going to do a whole series on the sayings of Jesus to just screw everybody up. Hold on, we're not done yet. Jesus replied, "My hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." He hasn't said yes to anything. Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind you use for Jews for ceremonial washing, each one 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water so that they are filled to the brim." Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory to his disciples, and they believed in him. Now, this is just a strange story, a strange way to get your name out there. Not healing a blind man, not raising somebody from the dead. I mean, that would sell tickets. Turning water into wine. And at first glance, you're like, oh, big, big whoopee, Jesus. Maybe. Or maybe this is the start of something really, really cool. Notice it's the third day, and there's so much symbolism in this. It's the third day, and Jesus rises on the third day. It's at a wedding feast, and our new life in Christ will be like a wedding feast. He's setting the stage for something amazingly beautiful. In the middle of this wedding, they run out of something very, very important, and the party could be over. And Jesus is drawn into the equation. Now, I know when we first read this and he says, "Woman," understand that he's not putting down his mother. He's not trying to make her feel bad. He's not trying to dismiss her like she's not important. It's a loving response to his mom that his time has not come. This is their party. This is their story. Let them have their moment. I'll have mine. But then he helps out their moment. "Why do you involve me? 6 stone jars used for ceremonial cleaning. They would wash their hands before they ate. If there was any time where they were spiritually unclean, they would wash their hands in that. He fills these jugs up, has these jugs filled up to the brim, 6 of them, 20 to 30 gallons. Do your math. 120 to 180 gallons of wine he makes like that. And we could get caught up, we'll come back to that. He fills them up to the brim. And then he kind of just backs up into the corner and just lets it happen. But he doesn't just give the yucky stuff that you bring out when everybody is not all there. He brings out the good stuff. Now, I got lost for like an entire day in the wine culture this week. And all the good stuff, and some of you need to have a conversation about getting lost in the wine culture. And there are bottles of wine that will go for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's like Jesus took that, made 120 gallons of it just to bless this family. Can you imagine for a second, all right? The size of the town is not like what we'd imagine. There's not hundreds of thousands of people. There's maybe 100 people here. And he makes 180 gallons of wine. When they're all said and done, when the wedding's over, there will be a physical reminder of what Christ did in their lives. They're newlyweds. Most of you who have gotten married know that the first couple years, you don't have a whole lot. They have this vat of wine that they could use to drink, or they could even use to sell to make money for their family. Jesus does something for this family that will continue to continue to continue. And this is a beautiful picture of the grace that he falls on us. Grace on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. And he wants to fill us to the full, to the brim. There's one other time in Scripture when water is turned into something. It's in the story of Moses. And water is turned into blood to bring down conviction and hurt upon a nation. And Jesus takes that story and changes water into something that will last for a long time. As you go out through the book of John, there are story after story after story where Jesus makes his presence known. Not just because of his miracles, not just because of his greatness, but because he was present in every single one of them. Feast after feast after feast, he's present. And he wants to be present in each and every single one of our lives. As we were thinking about this series, and when we were thinking about this story, and when we were thinking about God's presence, we always think about how we're going to land the plane, how we're going to make this thing sit and sink into your lives. And the way we do this, the way I'm going to do this in a second, was to ask one simple question every single day. At the end of the day, Jesus, where were you in my life? Where did you make yourself known? Where did you make yourself present? So I did this on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. My phone goes off all the time because of people posting on Facebook. And a friend of mine who's here this morning loves to send out those videos that make you cry. I was sending a message to somebody. I saw the video. I knew I shouldn't have clicked on it, but I clicked on it anyways. And it was a sappy story about somebody stepping up in humanity and lavishing love. This woman had lost her son, and this radio station got together, and they paid her mortgage and all her stuff for like 6 months. And I'm in my office, just sobbing. I'm like, well, that's really not fair. So then I found this other, so I sent that out, and then somebody saw that, and they accused me of making everybody cry, so they sent one out, and these stories happen all the time. There's a bunch of people that will just go out on the street and try these just crazy things to see how people will respond. And let me just set the stage for you. So these brothers got together, and they wanted to videotape this scene where they had another young kid. He was like 10 years old. They had him dressed up in ratty clothes, in a ratty t-shirt, ratty pants, and they gave him a garbage bag and a little sign that said, "I'm hungry and I'm cold, please help me." And they stuck him out the street corner and they videotaped from two different directions. And for 2 hours, people walked by. 2 hours. And you'd see people walk by and they kind of look over and they're like, "Oh, maybe I should do something now, I'll keep walking." Or they'd pull their hat down a little tighter, or they'd put their coat on a little tighter, and walk by for 2 hours. And after 2 hours, one guy walks up, and he says, "Son, are you okay? Are you cold? Here's my coat." And he takes his coat off, and he wraps it around this little kid. And he said, have you eaten? When's the last time you've eaten? I'm really hungry. Where are your parents? They left me. All right, buddy, don't worry. I'll take care of you. I'm homeless, and I know what it's like. And I sat in my office watching this in tears. And it's just to see how people would respond. Humanity is in desperate need of God's presence in our lives. And his presence is made manifest through you and through me. Last night, I'm getting ready to go to bed. It's getting late. And as I said before, normally we read the Bible before we go to bed. Oftentimes on the weekends, the kids are up late, and we tuck them in, we pray with them, we kiss them, we go to bed. And Jordan goes, "Daddy, aren't we going to read the Bible?" And I say, "Yeah, son, we're going to read the Bible." And I sat down, and we opened the Bible together. And he's, both of them, him and Caleb, sitting there, ear to ear. And I saw in a very real way the presence and power of God in my own children. This is what I want everybody to do. I want you all to take out your phones. Take your phones out. If you have a smartphone, if you don't have a smartphone, get a piece of paper. It's okay. Don't make fun of each other. That negates the process. Open up tomorrow's date on your calendar in your phone at about 7, 8 o'clock at night and write this down. Jesus, remind me today of where you were present in my life. Set that alarm. When we're done, set Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is your homework assignment. Because whether we realize it or not, God wants to be actively involved in each and every single one of our lives. The worship team is going to come back up. And I want to pray this upon you as we head into communion this morning. Close your eyes. Lord, Father, I pray right now. Your presence upon each person sitting here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would make yourself known in such a real way. Lord, there's hurt here this morning. There's a frustration here this morning. There's even a little bit of anger here this morning. Lord, right now I ask that you would just push that out of the way. And that you would replace that with your peace. That you would replace that with your joy. And that you would replace that with your love. Lord, your will be done. Amen. As the elders come forward,